Morning, Paraget on Osha. Okay, we got to Daf Tzadik Deis on the base. We had a little break, a little agarta. The Gemara was giving different interpretations of the Chalaim of the Sarah Mashkin. Foreseeing the whole future of the history of the Jewish people. Fantastic. And the Gemara before that was discussing the story of the Gidon Osha, that the Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg. And we're not allowed to eat Gidon Osha. Now the Gemara is going back to the Dinim on Tzadik Deis on the base. About 7-8 lines from the top. Let's go back, see the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Peites Amud Beis. So it says, the Din of Gidon Osha applies both to the right leg and to the left leg. In disagreement, the Gemara quoted Rabbi Sarabuta disagrees. He thinks it only applies to the right leg, doesn't apply to the left leg. And it applies Behema Bechaya. There are different Dinim. Osav Ezbeno only applies to Behemah. It doesn't apply to Chai V'yov. Kisi Adam only applies to Chai V'yov, doesn't apply to Behemah. And Zrola Chayayim V'hakeva also only applies to Behemah. And Gid Anosha applies to Behemah V'chaya and doesn't apply to Oaf. Ein Olei Oaf. And the Mishnah gave the reason, Matensha Ein Lo Kaf. So last week we saw the Gemara, what do you mean Kaf? Our leg, we have three parts. The foot on the bottom goes horizontally, and then the bottom bone that goes from the ankle to the knee, and then the upper bone that goes from the knee to the thigh to the body. So by the baby, you also have three parts, but all the three parts are vertical. Nothing is horizontal. So the Gidon Osha goes over the Kaf HaYerech. Asher kaf hayerech goes over. So the Mishnah says that Oaf doesn't have a kaf hayerech, so the whole din doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Oaf also has a kaf. The Gemara says, no, it has a kaf, but it's not ogil. It's not round on top. So we saw the Gemara last week had a suffix. Does it mean that the din doesn't apply to Oifus? Or does it mean, no, it depends in actuality whether it really has a kaf ogil or not. If you have an Oaf that will have a kaf ogil, it would be developed in an unusual way, maybe sometimes it will apply to it, and maybe sometimes it won't even apply to Behemah V'chaya if it has a kaf. That's not ogul. So the Gemara wasn't sure what the Mishnah meant to say. The other dinim, Osav Ezbeno, only applies to Behemah, and Chelev is Chelev V'chaya is Mutta, only Chelev V'Behemah is also. Those dinim, that depends on Behemah versus Chaya versus Oaf. And this din of Gidon Osha, the Gemara is not sure whether it depends on the type of animal. Doesn't apply to Oifus, or no, it depends whether it actually has a kafogel. So then the Mishnah has a machloikis hatanoim, v'noig b'shlil, Tanakama is non-identified, so we assume that it's Reb Meir, Stam Mishnah, Reb Meir, Reb Yudah disagrees. You often have machloikis Reb Meir, Reb Yudah. So the Tanakama is assumed to be Reb Meir, v'noig b'shlil, Gidon Osha even applies to an uber, a fetus that's inside, you have a big cow, and you shech the big cow, and there's a fetus inside. That's what we call a ben pekur. So we had a whole perek beim amkasha. The fourth perek was all about the dinim of ben pekur. So there's a machlekes between Rav Meir and Rav Yudah where the Gidon Osha applies to the ben pekur or not. Noig b'shlil, Rav Yudah ma'en noig b'shlil. What is that machlekes? We'll have to see. And then it says, and the chelev is mutter. And it doesn't say chelev is mutter. Is only Reb Yudah speaking? Reb Yudah says, "Ein anoig b'shlo Gidon Osha is mutter and the chelev is mutter." But the Tanakama, Reb Meir, holds that both Gidon Osha and chelev do apply to the shlil. Or the next line, the chelev mutter is l'choladeis. There's no machlokes on that. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. How do you read the Mishnah when it says v'chelev mutter means the chelev of the shlil is mutter only alibi the Reb Yudah who holds that the Gidon Osha is mutter, even according to Reb Meir? So that's going to be the discussion. Amar Shmuel, so that's where we're on Tzadik Beis on the base, but that's 8 lines from the top. Amar Shmuel, when the Mishnah says v'chel by mutter, that's not the end of the sentence of Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah's sentence is finished already. Reb Yudah has a machlokes with the Tanakama, the anonymous Tanakama is Reb Meir, but the Gidon Osha applies to a ben pekur, the uber inside the mother's body. But the next line, v'chel b'muta, that's l'choladeis. Diver hakol even Reb Meir agrees, it's not mutal b'machloikas. So the Gemara says, how can it be? That's impossible. Chel b'demai, the chelev chelbo muta, chelav of what? The chelav of the shlila, the chelav of the gid anasha. What do you mean chelbo muta? Chelba demai. Who's chelav? I lema. If you should interpret the Mishnah means chelba de shlil, that the Mishnah is making a statement l'chol ha'deis divrei hakol. Chelbo of the shlil is mutter. In other words, if you have a ben pukua, you shechted the mother and the uber was inside. So the din is that the shechita is chal on the mother and it's chal on the uber doesn't need a shechita. Menatar. And the rabbanim mishum marisayin, you have to shecht the ben pukua. But menatar does need any shechita. So what's the machlokes from Meir Reb Yehuda where the gid anosha is noig? So the Gemara explains, the Gemara says, it cannot be that it's muta l'chol ha'deis. I lema. If she translate the Mishnah, then it means chelba d'shlil, v'hamiflik t'ligibay, there is a beferish tosefta that is totally b'machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, where the giranosha of the ben pukua is also muta d'tanya, noig b'shlil v'chelba yosar. This tosefta is in the perek that talks about giranosha. So it says, giranosha applies to a ben pukua and the chelab is also osar. Both also the chelav and the giran osha, they were at Meir Reb Yehuda and Noig b'shlil v'chelba mutter. So they disagree on both, whether the chelav is mutter and whether the gid is mutter. And what is the machlokes for Amar Rab Lazar, Amar Rab Asher? Rab Lazar was a talmid of Rab Yechanan in Eretz Yisrael. So he says over, he heard from Rab Asher machlokes. The machlokes for Meir Reb Yehuda is beben tes chai, v'alach Rab Meir l'shitas Rab Yehuda l'shitas. When we learn Perik. So we had this machlokes. If you shecht the mother and there's an uber inside, see if the it's a by behema gasa it's a 9 month pregnancy. By behema dak it's a 5 month pregnancy. By sheep it's a sheep and goats it's a behema daka that's a 5 month pregnancy, and by big cows and horses and those kind of animals it's a 9 month pregnancy like by human beings. So if you shecht the behema in the uber inside is not yet kololo chadoshav, it's 7 months, 8 months, it's not yet viable. So then all the Tanoim agree that there's a din of ben pukua, that the shechita is chal on the uber inside, and even though the uber is born and it jumps around later on, if it survives, it does need its own shechita, based on the pasuk Rashi quote, based on the pasuk kol ba behema tochelu. You see in Rashi where it says vayikru yud aleph. So the Gemara in Perek Behemam Kasha quoted that. Kol ba behema tochelu, whatever is inside the behema you can eat, means if there's a behema inside a behema you can eat it. And included in that hat there is that the chelav and the giranasha is also mutam. Chelav is only asr in certain locations in the animal. Giranasha is only asr in a certain location. So when you're shechting the mother and the shechita is chal on the uber, so the locations that are asr are in the mother. The uber inside is considered ke'eva me'varas, like there's another limb over there. But that's not chelav shala keva, that's not chelav shala keres. It's not, the giranash is only osir al kaf ha'yerech. I'm treating the mother with the uber as if it's one animal. So it's like if you have giranash in the front legs. The giranash is only knowing in the back legs, not in the front legs. So here the animal has 8 legs. The mother has 4 legs, and it has an uber inside that has another 4 legs in it. So the back legs of the uber are not better than the front legs of the behemah. It's the wrong location. It's the wrong leg. And the same thing, the chelav of the uber is mutter. It's. Let's say you find chelav in the middle of the stomach of the animal. You find chelav in the middle of the womb of the mother. That's not chelav. Chelav at specific locations where chelav is also. Right. Usually there is a machlok. So here the Rambam says, get on. When you have a ben pukua, everyone agrees, we declare b'negeh tehet teshchita uba yarechim eva meivareh. That's how the Rambam writes with respect to het teshchita. So Rab Loza says in the name Rab Oshia, the machlokes in the Tosefta between Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda, where the giranosha and chelev apply to the uber inside when you shech the mother, and the uber inside is called the shlil, the fetus inside. That's Lishitosim. They're talking about Machlokes beben tishachai. The uber inside is alive and kicking, and it's a full-term pregnancy. So it's like a Balchai bifnei atzmo. So that was the Machlokes Ramei Rabbi. So Ramei holds that the din of ben pukur doesn't apply in such a case. The het of ben pukur called by behem tachel only applies if the fetus is not alive, if it died already inside the mother's womb, or if it is a lie, but it's a dying lekala lechadosh, if it's not yet a full-term pregnancy, it's not yet 9 months, or it's not yet 5 months, if it's a bei madaka, it's not kala lechadosh. But if it is kala lechadosh, if it's already a bei magasa, and it's already full 9 month full-term pregnancy, so Rameh holds that the din of ben pekur doesn't apply, and Rameh it's a regular balchai, so the gid on the Hashem, the chaylev will be asa. And Rabbi Yehuda Lishitasa holds no, even if it's a ben teschai, even though kala lechadoshav, and it's alive, it still is covered with the pasuk of shchitas ben pekur. So if it is covered, Lishitasa, he holds that the din of chaylev and gid doesn't apply. The dam is asa. The dam of the ben pekur is asa, because dam is asa all over the body. That's what the Rishonim explained. Chaylev is only asa in particular locations. Gid anosh is only asa on the back legs. So the front legs of the uber are not. The back legs of the uber are not more chomer than the front legs of the mother. The gid anosh is in the wrong location. Gid anosh over here. The gid anosh is inside the womb of the mother. And I treat it keiva meivareh. I say it's uber yarachima b'negir to the shechita. So the gid and the chaylev will be muta if you hold it's nita b'shechita sima. So Ramei holds it's not nita b'shechita sima because the chidush ha-Torah kol ba'behem b'tor chaylev ben pekur only applies if either the uber is no longer alive or the uber is adayin lo kol al-chadoshev, it's not yet a full-term pregnancy. So if it will be a ben teschai, that would be the machleg zamei rabbi. So the Gemara says, how do you translate the words in the Mishnah? The chel boy muta. How does it say? The chel boy muta, chel boy of what? If it means v'noyik bishlil, machlekes tanakam is Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, where the gid anosh is noyik bishlil. The chel boy muta, the chelav of the gid is muta l'choladeis. That's what Shmuel said. How can you say the chelav is muta l'choladeis? So if Erishat Asef, the gizal the machlekes, where the gid anosh is noyik, is whether the chelav is muta or not. So the Gemara says, you have to interpret, if Shmuel says, Chelba muta l'chol adeyes, Zomachleg, it must have been referring to some other Chelba. The Gemara says, Ella, what is he, how did Shmuel read the Mishnah? Ella, Chelba de Gid, not Chelba de Shlil. Chelba de Shlil is going to be a machleg, Zameh Rabbeinu. The Chelba de Gid, it's a new machlekes. I shecht an animal, no ben pekur situation. It's a new paragraph. Noig b'shlil anat is a machleg zamer rabbi. But then you start a new paragraph. Vechel by muter. If you have an animal, then you have a gid anasha. Is only the gid anasha is aser. What about the chelav, the fat on top of the gid anasha, the shuman agid, the chelav agid? Is that also aser? So that's what the Mishnah says is muter. And Shmuel said that's not totally by machleg. That's muskam l'chol ades. That the fat on top of the gid anasha is heta gomur. Elechel, but the gid, that's mutal chaladeis. Frankly, it's not true. Hamiflik pligibo, that is also machlek zamei rebutis. How does Shmuel make a statement? Lechelbo mutal chaladeis. A divrei hakol d'tanya. We have a beferish abraisa. Gid anoshe, you have to remove the gid anoshe. You're not allowed to eat it. And then b'chat tachra b'chol makom shehu, you have to go dig out. There's fat on top and there's fat on bottom of the gid anoshe. You have to cut out. You have to go along the whole piece of meat there and cut out all of the chelev, all of the shuman agid, wherever it happens to be absorbed in the animal. V'chaytach sham nemeikah, you have to cut out all of the shuman agid, David Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, v'fer shuman agid is asa. All the fat on top and on bottom of the gid anoshe is asa. Reb Yehuda Omer, you only have to cut off a little bit. Only gomam im ashofi. You only cut off the fat that's obviously on top of the gid anoshe, and that's all. So it's a beferish machlekes of Meir Rabbi Yehuda, how much fat of the gid anoshe is aser. Rabbi Yehuda says very little, only the fat that's directly above the gid anoshe. Rabbi Meir says, no, you have to dig, you have to cut out with a knife, you have to treba the flesh, you have to remove very little speck of fat that's either on top or on bottom of the gid anoshe. So the Gemara says, what did Shmuel mean when he said the chelba muta l'chol adeis? It's not true. If he's talking about the chelav of the shlil, that's a machlekes zamei Reb Yehuda l'shitas. He's talking about the chelav of the gid anoshe, a new paragraph, chelav of gid anoshe, that's also machlekes zamei Reb Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. They don't understand. So the Gemara says liolam chelba de gid. The second pshat is the correct pshat. The Mishnah says chelba muta, and Shmuel says l'chol adeis muta. They're going on the Shulman Agid, and when Shmuel interprets in the Mishnah, that is mutter means mutter l'chol ades min haTorah. The whole machlokes are Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, where the Shulman Agid is also, how much of the Shulman Agid is also a mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says only the obvious, the big chunk of Shulman Agid on top is also. Rabbi Meir says all the Shulman Agid is also. So that's all machlokes on the level of the Rabbanan. And Shmuel interpreted in the Mishnah, v'chel b'mutter, on the level of the Raisa, everything is mutter. That's how the Gemara says. Amoyde Shmuel, Shmuel admits that the Rav Meir, but the Rabbanan also the Tanya, we have a Beferish Braisa that says that we distinguish between Min HaTorah and the Rabbanan. V'sham Naimuta, the Shuman Hagid. Chel ben Shuman is the same thing. It's the fatty part of the animal. The DNA and the biology is exactly the same thing. Chelev is certain mekaymus in a behemoth where the chelev is also. The other mekaymus, all the fat, that's mutter, we call it shuman. But it's the exact same thing, it's just as healthy or unhealthy. Years ago they used to make, everybody thought that it's very healthy to eat fat. Now they say it's not healthy to eat fat. So the shuman and the chelev is the exact same thing. And the chelev and achaya, chelev behem is exactly the same thing, except that the chelev of the behem is also, the chelev of achaya is mutter, that's all. So we call it shuman instead of calling it chelev because it's really mutter. So we say v'shumna mutter, the shuman, the fat on top and on bottom of the gidonosh is mutter min haTorah. However, Yisrael kedoshim noga bo iser. That's the lashon. Sounds like it's only osam mitam minig. Rashi has it a few times. The shuman agid according to Rav Meir is not osam midrabbanon. It's a lower level. It's only osam mitam minig. Tosis here quotes. Tosis Dima Masa Gomama Im Ashofi. So if you go 25 lines into the Tosis, it says in parentheses Nida Dav Samach Vav. So they quote a Gemara in Maseches Nida. The Rav Zeir made a statement. Rais Yisrael Achmira Al Atzman Shafila Rois Tipes Dam Kachar Yoshev Sol of Shivinikim. You always need Shivinikim, and Atari you don't always need Shivinikim. It's a chumra. So the Losh and Gemara Benois Yisrael Achmira Al Atzman. Sounds like it's only a minute. And the Gemara Taka says, Hechad de Nog, Nog, Hechad de La Nog, Nog, Hechad de Achmer, Achmer, Hechad de La Achmer, Achmer. In the days of the Gemara, it was not a universal minig. Some locations they had the minig, some locations they didn't have the minig. Now that we all follow Talmud Bavli, and the Talmud Bavli recorded that minig, so by us, the minig all over is that we're Machmer on that. But Hechad de Achmer, Achmer, Hechad de La Achmer, Loy Achmer. So that's what Tosfos says over here also. And the Shulman Agid, the Loshon HaGemara is, we saw Kedoshim Nohagu Bowi, so it says Nohagu. So Tosfos says, some places yes, some places no. It's not an absolute takana de Rabban, it's a minig.
Going back to the Tosfos, the Bilos Yisrael are machmir on themselves, but how can they be machmir on their husbands?
With the permission, with the approval of the husband. They have no right, that is correct. They have no right to be machmir on someone else's expense. But the husbands agree. It was Midas Hasidus in observance of the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. So the husbands went along. Yeah. That's what that says. I think we must have mentioned this. The Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach says that when you broil the Korban Pesach, it says in the Chumash you're supposed to broil the whole thing intact. Rosh al Karov al Kirbah. You broil the whole Korban Pesach, and then afterwards you slice it into. I get a lamb chop, you get a lamb chop, everybody gets a piece after, but you don't slice it before you broil it all together. So the Rambam says, but the chut dam, you have to remove in advance. If it, the chelev, you have to cut out and burn it on the mizbeach. The chelev, that's haktara se murim. And the chut dam, also, when you salt flesh, you succeed in getting out the dam. Over here, it's a korban pesach, you're going to broil it. So when you broil the flesh, then you don't need so much salt. We have a meaning that we put malicha muetas. When you broil flesh, you do a light salting. And mikaradin, you really don't need any salting at all. But I was in the rabbinate for a short period of time, so that was one of the first shilas that I got from the Balabasta. I was there in Paramus once for Shabbos. So one of the women forgot to salt the liver. When she broiled the liver, so she forgot to salt the liver in advance. So she called me up on the phone, what's the din? So the din is that b'diavad it's kosher. The salting of the liver, the salting of flesh that you want to broil, is only a chumra. So mikredin, you don't really need it. If you're not going to broil it, if you're going to cook it, then you have to salt it to remove all the dam. But if you broil it, we assume that broiling accomplishes the same. So when you broil the korban pesach, you have to have the whole korban pesach intact. Rosh, Ra, Krav, Arkiv, everything should be attached. So the Rambam says, but first you have to cut out the chalovim that you burn on the Mizbeach. Then you have to cut out the big arteries and the big veins, chute dam, because the broiling will only accomplish to remove the dam of the Korban Pesach, the dam in the capillaries. But the dam in the arteries, the dam in the veins, the big chute dam, that you can't rely. Same thing salting. Can't rely on salting, is only going to remove the dam in the capillaries, and not going to remove the dam in the big arteries. So the so the Rambam says, before you broil the Korban Pesach, you cut out the chalev, you burn it on the mizbech, and then you cut out chutei dam, and then you broil the Korban Pesach. So the Ravitz writes very sarcastic style. He says, if I would be there, I would take this man's, the Rambam, I would take his Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor, and I would tell him, you're not allowed to eat that Korban Pesach. What did you do? You didn't cut out the Gidon Asher in advance. So he made treif the whole Korban Pesach, so he can't eat anything. That's what the Ravitz says. The Rambam says you have to cut out the chalev in advance, that to be makriv on the mizbech, and you have to cut out the chutei dam that shouldn't make treif. So he forgot to say that you have to cut out the Gidon Asher in advance. So the case of Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara, in his commentary on the side, comes to defend the Rambam. So he says there is a machlokes in the Gemara. We didn't cover it yet. It's going to come up later. If you cook Gidon Asher, the treif of Gidon Asher, you cook it in a pot with other food. So does it give nesinas tam? If you cook treifus in a pot with kosher soup or with kosher food, so there's a din of tam kiker. Even though the flavor that comes, let's say you buy some treif cake, you buy some treif candy. How treif is it already? 51% of the cake is going to be treif ingredients. 2%, 5%, a little bit is going to be treif ingredients. So let it be bottle berayv. We have a din of bittle berayv. So the answer is no. If it's an ingredient that succeeds in giving the sinas tam, you can taste the flavor of the treif ingredients, and then we say tam ki ikar. Since it's nice and tam, so that's why you have to have shishim. Once you have shishim, we assume it probably is no longer nice and tam. So the Gemara has a machlokes. What if I cook the treif of Gidon Asher in a pot of soup? Do you say yesh begidim nice and tam or ain't begidim nice and tam? So the Mishnah is, the Mishnah holds yesh begidim nice and tam. If you cook the Gidon Asher with other things, it succeeds in giving tam. Even though it's only a slight flavor, it succeeds in giving tam and anasas. And we don't paskin like the Mishnah. The Gemara says, V'hilchaso, we paskin against the Mishnah. We paskin like the Brises that quote the opinion of the other Tanaim. Ein begidim anasas tam. The tam is so slight that you have a right to ignore it. So the Kes Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. How come the Rambam says you broil the Korban Pesach with the Gidon Asher? The Gidon Asher is going to make treif. So he says, no, the Rambam Paskin is like the Gemara's Maskan, ain't beginning but the time. Gidon Asher doesn't make treif. So if you can broil the whole Korban Pesach all intact and without butchering it up, without cutting out pieces, it's better. That's the mitzvah Bishlein Musav, Rosh Al Krov Al Kirba. You broil everything together. After you finish broiling it, then you cut out the Gidon Asher and you don't eat it. But the broiling should be done all together. Then, in fact, Akasha, well, what about the Shuman Agid? The Shuman Agid is regular fat. That succeeds in giving the sinas tam. Gidon Asher itself is on a tam. So the tam is so insignificant, we pass can aim the Gidon, but I say tam doesn't ask. But Shuman Agid, that's also the Rabbanah. So that asks. So Taisus has two opinions, where the whole Shuman Agid is only awesome the Rabbanah. It's not awesome in a term. So since Shuman Agid, there's a question, Shuman Agid is awesome the Rabbanan, Agzeru Atu Gidon Asher, or Agzeru Atu Chalev? Which is it? So most of the Rishonim assume that it's Agzeru Atu Gidon Asher. If you allow people to eat the Shuman Agid, the fatty part on top and on bottom Gidon Asher, they're afraid next step they'll do is they'll eat the Gidon Asher itself.
So to Rabbi Yehuda, he says it's mutter.
He holds there never was a Gzeira de Rabbanan. Right. He holds there never was. And Rav Meir says that there is an Issa mid Rabbanan. We pass like Rav Meir over here. There is an Issa de Rabbanan. Usually, whenever there's machlokes on Meir, Rav Yehuda, halachic Rav Yehuda. Usually, Rav Meir loses. But over here, the minute Tosfos says, over here, the minute is that you follow Rav Meir, that we ask for Shuman Agid. We do ask. But there's a machlokes in Rishonim. Shuman Agid is a Gzeira de Rabbanan otu chelev. Just like so many parts of Chelev Arasa, so the Shuman Agid is also mitam Chelev. No, it's also mitam Gid. So most of the Rishonim say it's also because of Gid. Rashi and Tosfos and a lot of Rishonim say it's also because of Gid. So here there's a new machleka. Since Gidon Asher itself doesn't aser, if you cook Gidon Asher in a pot with soup, ain begidim erayis in tam. So maybe even though chelet, even though shumen agid does have an esinus tam, its fatty has a flavor. But since shumen agid is only osim of the rabban gzera otu gid, so maybe it does make sense to be machpan the shumen agid more than in the gid. The gid itself does nasa. You don't need shishim. So maybe the shumen agid is also muta. So the Ravi Shanim hold like that, but the Ramam doesn't hold like that. The Ramam holds that shumen agid does asa. Even though the Gid Anasha does nasa, and the Gid Merayis Tam Shemer Agid does nasa. So that's what the Kes Mishnah asks. I saved the Rambam from the Kasha of the Ravid. How can he say you broil the Korban Pesach with Gid Anasha? It's going to make treif. So he said, no, it doesn't make treif. After you finish broiling it, cut out the Gid Anasha. Make sure nobody eats it. No one's going to want to eat it anyway. It doesn't taste good. But after you finish broiling, and you should, it's preferable to broil the whole thing altogether. But the shayla is, why don't you have to cut out the shumen agid in advance? Because the shumen agid will asim. So on this, the Kes Mishnah comes up with the following answer. He says, shumen agid is not even an isa de rabbanan. The Gemara says, shumen mutar, we saw kedoshim nogabo isa. The holy Jewish people developed a minig that they don't eat it. So he says, here you have a conflict between a real din and a minig. Medina, medina de raisa, medina de rabbanan. You're supposed to broil the Korban Pesach intact. Rosh HaKarov HaKirba. And then you have a minig that you don't allow eating Shuman Agid, and the Shuman Agid has been seen as tam, so it'll make everything treif, mitam minig. But Mi'ikar Adin, you're supposed to burn the whole Korban Pesach together. So that's what he says, the Kes Mishnah says, whenever there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, so the real din takes precedence. So he says, once a year, on Leil Pesach, all the Jews who come to the Beis HaMikdash violate the minig of not eating Shuman Agid. Because they boil the Korban Pesach intact, everything, Rosh HaKarov HaKirboi, and that's the real din deraisa and chumash, and everyone in the Mela is in violation of the minig, everybody's eating Shuman Agid. And Shuman Agid gives in a flavor into the rest, it dissolves it, it gives in an asinus tam into the rest of the flesh. So that's an important line. That's an important line in the case of Mishnah. So I must have mentioned Rav Gusman has Gusman passed away. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He was in Rav Chaim Moshe's Bezna, I think, at the age of 17 or 18. He was a big Talmid Chacham, very big Talmid Chacham. So he gave a lot of shiurim, and he wrote up many of his shiurim. So in the Sefer on Kiddushin, at the end of the Sefer, he has a tshuva halacha lemaisa. Sometimes women can't become pregnant because till they wait Shivanikiyim, so their cycle is over already and they're no longer able to become pregnant then. They missed their chance. So that's halachic infertility. In Metziah, she is able to have children, but if she's going to observe all the chumras of Taras HaMishpacha, so she can't become pregnant. So Rabbi Gusman has that the Gemara said in Nida regarding the chumra of Rabbi Zeira, Nosei Selach Mira Al Atzman. So the Gemara's lashon was, Hecha de Achmar Achmar. It's only a minig, it's not a real din. So whenever the minig of waiting, sometimes Shivanikim is a real din, sometimes it's only a minig. So whenever it's only a minig, in a couple of cases it's only a minig, so then the din of having children, Piribirivya, takes precedence. It's a conflict between the mitzvah of Piribirivya and the minig of waiting Shivanikim. Sometimes it's only a minig. So then he passes la locha that in such a case, when there's a conflict between a real din and a minig, there's room to make a lot of the minig. You have it in different cases when you have a conflict between a real din and a minig. So that's the din takes precedence.
When you say broil, how is broil defined? That there's room for blood to completely
cool down on the fire. Yeah,
that's the difference between broiling and just cooking.
Yeah. And the Korban Pesach has to be tzli eish. It can't be tzli machmas dovarachas. So you can't broil it on a metal broiler because the metal will convey the heat, and the metal will be broiling part of the Korban Pesach. So they had to use a wooden pole and stick the wooden pole through the Korban Pesach. And wood does not convey the heat. Wood doesn't transmit the heat. So the whole Korban Pesach will be broiled without touching any metal, only directly because of its liage. The broiling will be done because of the fire, the heat of the fire. And then falls down on the ground, falls on the floor of the oven.
Regarding Rav Gutzman's suggestions, it's the man that has the mitzvah, privia privia. The woman doesn't have the mitzvah. So why didn't he suggest, I don't know, he should take another wife?
There's no mitzvah without the woman.
Can't do the mitzvah without his wife, yeah. It's a maka mitzvah, there's a conflict.
He can take another woman as a wife. I mean, according to strict, Torah law.
Yeah. Well, we have the chair of the Rabbeinu Gershom was only at Sofa Elif. The Rabbeinu Gershom made a chair, you're not allowed to marry more than one wife. That was over a long time ago. That was over 778 years ago, in the year 5000. That was at Sofa Elif. I remember when I was a little boy, they were writing up in the newspapers, the chair of the Rabbeinu Gershom is soon going to be over because he only made the chair for 1,000 years. He didn't make it for 1,000 years. And made the chayim at Sofo Elif. He didn't know what's going to be. Made the chayim for 150 years. And the Sofo Elif was already a long time ago, in the year 5000. So the Sfardim never had the chayim. So they still, strictly speaking, they're permitted to have two wives. Unless it's against Dina Machusa. Okay, so in Eretz Yisrael it's against Dina Machusa. But the Ashkenazim accepted it as a minik. Until the year 5000, it was a real chayim, the Rabbeinu Gershom. Chayrim means a curse, that whoever violates it should be cursed, he should drop dead. The Gemara says Chayrim is Oisius Ramach. It's a curse that creeps into the Ramach Evarim, and the person who violates it should die. But after the year 5000, the Ashkenazim accepted to observe that practice as a minig. So if someone does take another wife, we pressure him to get rid of one of the two wives. He can't live with the both wives. And if necessary, we may put him in cherem because he's in violation of the minig. But it's not automatically in cherem. It's not automatically. Until the year 5000, one who would take a second wife would be automatically in cherem. Yeah. So the cherem was over a long time ago, 778 years ago, in the year 5000, the cherem was over. But he's not mechuyev to divorce his wife. You have a conflict between a minig and a real din. So the din is that you don't observe, you're not mechuyev to observe the minig under such circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Even though she doesn't have the...
Right.
The mitzvah is not in her.
Right. So this is the Loshon HaGemara that the Kesef Mishnah points out. Yisrael Kadosh and Noga Bo Iser, he says that Shuman Agid is only a minig, it's not even a din de rabbanan. And Tosis even writes more explicitly, Hech de nog nog, hech de lo nog, lo nog. It wasn't the universal minig all over in Klal Yisrael. Some communities had this minig and some didn't. Our minig is that we do follow Reb Meir. Even though usually Reb Meir, Reb Yudah, Lachak Reb Yudah, it's rare that you paskin like Reb Meir against Reb Yudah. It's rare that you paskin like Reb Meir in any machlokes. Because the Gemara says, Rav Meir gave such complicated, when we learned Erevin we came across, Meir gave such complicated shiurim, he wouldn't tell you bottom line halacha l'maisa what he holds. You can say like this, you can say like that, and he gave perfect explanation why he can say ahim, why he can say ahim. So the Talmidim left him. They wanted a Rebbe. He says, ABC, what the din is. They didn't want to hear all the logical possibilities. They wanted to hear what the halacha is. So the next generation, when they were paskening, when they were trying to take a consensus of what the psak is, so overwhelming majority of the Tanaim were not Talmidim of Rav Meir, because they didn't enjoy his shiur. He was giving too many explanations justifying all the logical possibilities, instead of giving his shiur what the halacha is, bottom line. So he was usually his opinions were outvoted. And over here, the minig is that we do follow Rav Meir. So Kadoshim Noga Bois, it's Mitam Minig Li Aser, the Giranosh. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says. Amoyde Shmuel made a comment on the Mishnah that when it says in the Mishnah the chel by mutter, it doesn't mean the chelav of the ben pekua. No, chelav of the ben pekua, the zelma machloikis is the ginanosh of the ben pekua. If the din of ben pekua applies, then the chelav and the gid are both mutter. If the din of ben pekua doesn't apply to a ben teschai, so then it's a regular animal. So then the ginanosh and the chelav will be awesome. Chel ba mutter means the chelav of the ginanosh is mutter, L'chol adeis min ha-Torah Umboid ishmol that according to Rav Meir it will be awesome at the Rabban. Umboid ishmol the Rav Meir and the Rabban and they say the Tanya. Because we have a brisa that sounds like it says that. What does it say in the brisa? Sham le muter the shuman agid, the chelev agid is muter v'yisol kadoshim no'aga bo yisa. It doesn't say whose opinion it is though. It doesn't say whether it's Rav Meir or Rav Yudin. So the Gemara says, my love, the pshat probably is, my love, Rameh is probably Rameh's opinion, the Amma Mutta Min HaTorah, the Asim of the Rabbana. That's probably what it refers to. The Gemara says, Be'ezok, who says? Maybe Rameh says, the Shuman Agid is Asim Nechatzorach Lechat Tedachrov. You have to take a knife and you have to cut out every speck of Shuman Agid. Maybe it's so meticulous, because he also says, Shuman Agid is Asim Min HaTorah. It's not Chelev. Chelev has an Issa Kar. It's not an Issa Chelev, it's an Issa Gid Anasha. Gid Anasha, the prohibition of Gid Anasha is Malkus, not Kares, and it includes all the Shuman Agid. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that Brisa, that one line Brisa, Sham Namuti, Vesal Kadosh and Nogabis, how do you know that that's Aliba the Reb Meir, there is Mutam and Atar, and Osim the Rabbanan, Dilma Reb Yudahi, maybe the Brisa goes like Reb Yudah. The Shuman Agid is Mutam and Atar, and Osim the Rabbanan, a little bit. He's not as Machmer as Reb Meir. But he says, Gomamah Mashofi, he says you have to cut out a little bit of the Shuman Agid. Avle Rav Meir, maybe Mederaisa Nami Yosef. How do you know that the Braisa goes, Aliba the Rav Meir? Because Shmuel made a statement when it says in the Mishnah, the Chelba Mutter, that's the Dibre HaKol. There never was a Machloikah. So the Gemara said, Chelba Demai, which Chelav? He talking about the Shuman Agid? That's a Machloikah, a Meir Rav Yudah. So Gemara says no. Chelba mutam means the Shuman Agid is mutam in HaTorah, and Rav Meir only asks Midrabban. The Gemara says, how does Shmuel know that that's true? Maybe the Braisa that says is only asks Midrabban is Aliba the Rav Yudah. Mimai, how do you know that the Braisa that says asks Midrabban is Rav Meir, Dilma Rav Yudah, Avla Rav Meir, Midraisa Nami Yosef. Maybe Rav Meir holds that he's more Machman than Rav Yudah. Maybe he holds that it's asks Midrabban. Gemara says, you can't say that. Lo Yisal Kadaita. Why not? It's impossible. The Tanya, Gid Anasha Mechat Tadach Mechamak Meshahu, V'sham Namuta. There's a contradiction in Eibay in the Brisa. It says you have to cut out every speck of Shuman Agid wherever you can find it. That's Rav Meir speaking. Rav Yudah says he just cut off his superficial, a little amount of Shuman Agid on top of the Gid. But this Brisa follows Rav Meir's opinion. Mechat Tadach Mechamak Meshahu. You have to cut out every speck of Shuman Agid because it's also, then it says Shuman is Muta. How can be Shuman is Mutter? It's a contradiction. The answer is Shuman is Mutter min HaTorah, but mid the Rabbanan there was so Machma, everything is Asa. So the Gemara says that's clearly Rav Meir speaking. Man Shamslei Disle Chatipa. Who is the Tana? Whose opinion is it? Who's quoted in the Brisa? Tzoch lechata dachrav. You have to cut out every speck of Shuman Agin. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Nonetheless, become Hashem Nei Mutter. So you see, Shuman Agin is Mutter min HaTorah. It's only Asa Rabban. So they proved that Shmuel is right. Fine. Now the Gemara has a machlokes, what exactly is the Gid Anasha? So we had earlier a little bit, there are two Gid Anashas. There's one that's closer to the bone, that goes the whole length of the leg, and then there's one that's outer, further out, an inch further out in the leg of the animal that doesn't go the whole length of the leg. So the Gemara says, Min HaTorah, only the inner Gid Anasha. Asher akaf hayorach, that goes the whole length of the yerech. Min HaTorah, only that part of the Gid Anasha that goes over the kaf hayorach is also. But it has to be the Gid that goes the whole length of the leg, so that the 2 inches that's on top of the kaf hayorach is also, and the rest is mutter. But the outer Gid Anasha, the chitzan, is only also with the Rabbanan, it's not also Min HaTorah, because it doesn't go the whole length of the leg. So now, in between the inner Gid Anasha and the outside Gid Anasha, both of them have no flavor at all. It's like eating paper, like eating cardboard, doesn't taste good at all. In between them, there are softer gidim that do taste a little bit like flesh. So now there's a machlokes amaroyim, when the Torah prohibits gid anasha. Torah is talking about the inside gid anasha that tastes like paper. Eitzu, v'Torah asrasa, is that what the Chumash is talking about? Or maybe I should say no, the Torah is not talking about that. That's mutter. How can it be macholos asuris? We have a category macholos asuris, foods that you're not allowed to eat. So basam b'chalav is treif, and the veil is treif, and behemet tmei is treif. All list of things that are treif. certain fish are treif. Okay, so what are you going to say over here? Macholas hasuris includes agir anasha that's inedible. It's a shtikolt eitzu. So one opinion is it cannot be. The Torah is not talking about that. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Amar Rabbi quotes it. It's going to be a machlok. Rav and Ula. Rav lived in Bavel and Ula lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav, they didn't argue face to face. They had a tradition that Ula disagrees. So Rav is of the opinion. Also, Torah laknokna shibov. The Torah only prohibits the soft agidim that connect between the long agid, the pnimi, and the chitzon agid. The knoknos are the softer gidim that are edible. It tastes a little bit like flesh. But the gid itself, you can't call it machalos asuris. It's inedible. Torah never prohibited that. And Ula disagrees. No. Eitzu v'atara chiva olav. The Torah is talking, you're not allowed to eat the gid. The knoknos are not included in the prohibition. That's not the gid anash. Gid anash is only the long gid, the pnimi, that's closer to the bone. It goes the whole length of the leg. So it's a machloikus, Rab and Ula. Does the Isser and the Torah only go on the knoknos? It cannot possibly refer to the gid itself because it's inedible. Or you say no. It only, the prohibition only goes on the gid. Doesn't go on the knoknos. Amar Abaye, Kabasa di Ula, Mr. Abaye lived in Bavel. Everything usually follows the Talmud Bavli, Olachach me Bavel. He says, oh yeah, I think Ula is right. Ula lived in Eretz Yisrael. I think Ula is more correct than Rav. Why? Dom Rav Sheish is Ham Rav Asi. What does it say? The Torah prohibits certain sections of chelav in the animal. You have to trade with the flesh to remove all the chelav. So Rav Asi made a statement, chutim shebechelav. Every so often you have a piece of flesh and it has some cartilage in it that's really inedible. It doesn't taste like flesh. So sometimes you have chelav that has such chutim in the chelav that don't taste good. So Rav Asi made a statement, chutim shebechelav you're not allowed to eat, then chayav malim, but you're not chayav koris. Because the yisur, the araisa of chelav only goes on the chelav. Torah said chelav is osa. The chutim shebechelav don't taste like anything, it's inedible, so the Torah didn't prohibit that. Alma, what do you see from the din of Rav Asi? Chelav am rachmana v'lo chutim. How are you going to tell me that the Iser in the Chumash of Gid Anasha goes on the softer Gidim that connect the inner Gid Anasha, the Gid Apnimi, with the Gid Achitzon? Gid Anasha goes on the Gid. It doesn't go on the Knoknos, on the other things. It cannot be. The Mashmos of the Chumash is that Chelev is Aser and Chutim Shebechelev Amutter. So the Torah Mashmos is that the Gid is Aser. And the knoknas amuta, the softer gidim on aras. So the Gemara repeats it again. Gufa Amar Rav Sheish is going to quote again the same memra. Rav Sheish quotes the name of Rav Asi, chutim shebechelev asurim, vein chayom alev, because the Torah only prohibits the chelev, the chutim shebechelev are really, it's a chumra mid the rabbanon, that you're not allowed to eat it, because it's in the middle of all the chelev, but min hatorah it's really muta. So if you ate it b'shogeg, you wouldn't be chay v'chatas. You only chayiv chatos if you violated an aver b'shogeg, which if you would have done it b'mezer, there would have been a chayiv koris. But this is only an isa d'rabban. So now the Gemara is going to have, how do you trade with the flesh? So the Gemara goes on and on and on about the cutting out different parts of the animal. Just like I skipped Perikei L'Treifus, because it's very, you have to know a lot of biology for that. So I'm going to skip this Gemara also. You have to know the people who trade with the flesh. They have to know what a bema looks like, and they have to know what's awesome. Okay, so maybe we'll skip this. Goes on and on until over here, until Tzad Gimel on the base. About 20 lines from the bottom, the Gemara finally finishes all these details about trading the flesh, and the Gemara is going back to commenting on the Mishnah. Let's see where. Let's go back again to the Mishnah. Pei Tes on the day. The opening Mishnah in the Perek, we had the machlokes whether Gid Anasha applies to the Shlil. Then it says Chelba Mutter. Chelba Mutter means the Chelba of the Gid Anasha is Mutter in a Torah, and Rameir Sheet is only with the Rabbanon. Then the last two lines in the Mishnah is a machlokes Satanaim. Ein HaTabochen Namonim al Gid Anasha Div Rameir. Rav Meir is so strict, he says you have to remove every speck of chelev and shuman agid. Tzorach lachata dachra. So he says that during his lifetime, the butchers were not careful. They didn't have mashgichim. So the butchers were religious Jews, but they were not careful to remove all the specks of chelev. It's not real chelev. It's only a chumer mid rabbanim. So not even a chumer rabbanim. It's a mini. So al kadoshim no gabalisa. And other communities, they didn't observe this mini. Tyson says, "Hecha de achmer achmer hecha de lachmer loy achmer." So if you live in a community where officially they want to be machmer like Rav Meir, that's tzorach lachata dachra. So Rav Meir says you cannot trust the butchers. Eina moni magid anoshe, because they're not going to do a good job. Because for so many years they never had such a chumer. So they said, "What do you mean? Something new this year? We've been in the flesh business for many years." And I remember 50 years ago we didn't cut out all the chelev, because it was a minik that developed during the lifetime of Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says you can't trust the butchers because they're so used to not cutting it out, they're not going to do a good job. Whenever you have Rav Meir and some of this, usually it's Rav Meir Rav Yudah. V'chachamim am nachamim say nemonim olav v'yal chelev. Just like the nemonim on chelev is a din deraisa. So just like they believe to say we trade with the flesh, we took out all the chela. So Rabbi Yehuda holds in tzorach lechata dachra. Rabbi Yehuda holds you just have to cut off a slight little bit of shumer agid on top of gedolah. You don't have to cut out tzorach lechata dachra. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is no such minig. The minig is a minig shtus, a minig tois. They started the minig. Rav Meir started the minig. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make any sense, and forget it. A minig has to make sense. Every minute there's a good reason, but you have to have, just like called the tikkun rabbanon came there isa tikkun, just like the dinim the rabbanon have to be patterned after dinim the isa, so minhagim also have to be patterned after real dinim. If you have a minig, everybody stands on their head for a half a minute on Tuesday evening at 8:15. So if the doctors ascertain that it's very healthy for your blood circulation or whatever, okay, so that's a good minig, that's good for your health. But if it doesn't correspond to anything, so it's a minig shtus. So such a minig is not binding. Sometimes you have machloikis in the Shulchan Aruch regarding certain minhagim, whether it's a minig shtus or it's a reasonable minig. If it's a minig shtus, it's not binding. That's famous from the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam wrote a tshuva that's printed in the Mordechai in Gittin. Shaila about how to write a get. So he says there was a minig, so the Rabbeinu Tam is warning, you know, minig is osias gehenim. The same letters, mem, nun, hey, gimel, the same letters as gimel, hey, nun, mem. He says sometimes you observe a minig, you go straight to gehenim. Like a monopoly, you go straight to whatever. So here you go straight to gehenim. He says there's such a thing as a minig shtus, and he quotes the Tosfos on the opening Mishnah Bava Basra. Mishnah Bava Basra talks about hashutvim shirosa lasas mechitza, two neighbors, and they have lawns are adjacent, and they both agreed they want to build a wall to separate, and they committed themselves, they obligated themselves to pay money to build a wall. So how thick does the wall have to be? So it says if they obligated themselves to make a wall from bricks, it has to be so thick. If they obligated themselves to make a wall from stones, it has to be so thick. And if it's a wooden material, it's so thick. It has, the Mishnah has four different materials, and then it says hakol kamina kamdina, whatever material you're going to used to make, whatever they committed themselves to make a wall from that material, you follow the minig amdina. So Tosfos fekt akasha, the Mishnah can't list off every single kind of material. It has four different materials, and bricks and stones and wood. So what does it have to bother to say what the thickness is of its bricks and stones and wood? Say whatever the material, I call it minig amdina, that covers everything. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you see from the Mishnah that if it's bricks and the minig is that they make it thicker than the Mishnah says, that's a minig shtus. Or if it's stones and they make it thicker than the Mishnah says, that's a minig shtus. So the Mishnah is telling you that, Tosfos said from this Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, you can infer, you can derive that there's some minhagim that you're not supposed to follow. It's a minig shtus. And every generation, the Rabbanim used to determine different minhagim, whether they're minig shtus or they're not minig shtus. I must have mentioned, Rav Soloveitchik was a stickler on all the minhagim that are in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a minig, when you ask the rabbi to tell the chometz for you, so the rabbi always makes a Kabbalah's kinyan. So he gives you, years ago, the rabbi used to give the bottom, they used to wear a long jacket, The rabbi used to give the bottom of the jacket that the Baal HaBayis should hold on to it. That's a Kenyan Suda. Now the jackets are not so long. So they said, they give a handkerchief. So what's the idea? That's a Kenyan Chalipin, a Kenyan Suda. I give you a handkerchief in exchange for which you give me something. So I give you a handkerchief to be kind of your house. I have to pay you $2 million for the house. I give you a handkerchief to be kind of your automobile. I have to pay you $5,000 for the automobile. But I'm kind of the automobile. Here I give you a handkerchief to be kind of the right to function as your shaliach. The rabbi is not kind of the chometz from the Baal HaBayis. The rabbi is acquiring authorization to function as a shaliach on his behalf. So the Rambam makes fun of this. The Rambam says that this, when you appoint a shaliach, the meaning used to be when a man appoints a shliach to give a get to his wife also. The shliach would give a handkerchief to the husband, in exchange for which the husband would give him the power of attorney. He can act on behalf of the husband as a shliach. So the Rambam says it doesn't really make any sense. What do you need a kinyan chalipin for? There's no need for a kinyan chalipin. But then he justifies it. So the Chazon Ish and his brother-in-law, the Stipler, when they used to ask the rabbi to sell, they were never functioning rabbis. When they used to ask a rabbi to sell the chametz, they never used to make the kinyan suda, because there's a minig shtus, because the Rambam makes fun of it. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was always a stickler on that. He said no, because the Rambam defends the minig. First the Rambam says it doesn't make any sense, and then he knocks sense into it. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a big shiur, an hour and a half shiur, to explain what kinyan chalipin is all about, why it does make sense. So he was a big captain on that. He said, you got to observe that minig. Not a minig shtus. So in every generation, all the Rabbanim have to review all of the minhagim to determine whether they think the minig shtus are reasonable minig.
The case with the two neighbors, that's dine mamonos. I thought we usually don't learn out from dine mamonos to iser v'heter.
That is true. But the Rabbanim Tam is just proving that even though it says the word minig, hakol k'minig hamdina, see, in Dini Maminus, Minig Amdina plays a different role. The Mishnah has like this. There's a Mishnah in Aserches HaPoelim. Based on the Pasuk Baruch HaNafshi that says, Yetz Yodim Lefolov El'Avodos HaYadir Arev, so you see from the Pasuk in Tehillim that the worker is supposed to work from Alos HaShachat till Tzeis HaKachav. Let's hire you as a worker and you should work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, whatever. Work for me 5-6 days a week, and I'm going to pay you whatever, so much money every day. So there comes the end of the week, it comes Friday, and you want your salary. So I say, what do you mean? But you didn't come at Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is an hour and a half before sunrise. You didn't show up at Alos HaShachar. You didn't stay till Tzeis HaKachavim. I'm going to deduct from your pay. So he said, Alos HaShachar, Tzeis HaKachavim, you never heard of it. So I said, well, that's what it says in the Pasuk Baruch HaNafshi. So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter what it says in the Pasuk. Even though that's the din if they didn't make up one way or the other. What if I ask you, I want you to teach in my university a course 3 days a week, and each lecture is only an hour and a half, I'm going to pay you $50,000 for that, just by giving one course. If I made a stipulation, I said how much I'll pay you and what the time is, then you don't have to work from Alois HaShachat to Tzeis HaKacham. So what if the minig amdin is that you work from 9 to 5? Even though it says, despite the fact that in Baruch HaNafshi it says, you have to work from Alois HaShachat till Tzeis HaKochavim, but in Dini Maminus, any tanai that you make is binding. Kol tanai she b'mamin kayim. So even though they never made a tanai, but we say, hakol k'minig amdina. Since the minig amdina is that in America people work from 9 to 5, or another location, minig is 10 to 4, whatever it is, bankers hours, whatever the minig is, so the minig is considered as if kilu hisnu, as if they made a tanai, and then a tanai is binding. So the Rabbeinu Tam just says in the opening Mishnah Bava Basra, the two people whose lawns are adjacent to each other, they committed themselves, they made a hischaivus, they said, we're obligating ourselves to put up so much money to build a fence, a stone wall, to separate between my lawn and your lawn, however much it's going to cost. So the shaila is, but the minig hamdin is to make a very thick fence. So whatever the minig hamdin is considered kilu histon, as if they stipulated. So do you say it over here? So that's what he says. No, even though it says in the Mishnah hakol k'minig hamdina, and the minig is binding because whatever is the minig is kilu histon, and kol taisha the b'mamon is kayim. He says sometimes a minig is a minig shtus. You see from the Mishnah. So then, if it's a minig shtus, you don't say kila histon. So he carries this over. You're right. It's a totally different area, but it just proves that even though the din requires you have to follow the minig, in mamonis you follow the minig because whatever is the minig is kila histon. Whatever you make a tanai, that's called taisha b'mamon kayim. And in Issa the Heter, a minig is binding, b'tam neder, when it comes to, if the minig is you don't eat something, even though strictly speaking it's mutter, so it's also b'tam neder. But also, if it's a minig shtus, then it doesn't have the tokef of a minig. You're right, they're two different areas, but it just proves that just because it says hakolk minig amdina, you don't always follow. If it's a minig shtus, you don't follow. That's a famous Chuvas Rabbeinu Tam. It starts off by that. That minig is the same osias as Gehenim. Sometimes you follow the minig, you go straight to Gehenim. If it's a reasonable minig, you're supposed to follow the minig. You have to follow the minig. Yeah. The Maharil was a Shleach Tzibur. He had a beautiful voice. And he used to daven for Anomen in different cities in Germany. So once he was davening Rosh Hashanah, so he said all the piyutim, but he felt that the piyutim should have been recited in a different seder. Some of them that he said for Shachris, he said belong in Musaf, so he rearranged it. He said all the piyutim, but he said it in a different order, what he thought was the correct order. In the course of the year, his daughter died. He had a young child who died. So he attributed the death of the young child as a punishment for the fact that he violated the minig. Minhagim have to be observed to transmit to the next generation the form of observance of the religion. So he violated the minig, so he feels he doesn't deserve to have children because he's not transmitting to the next generation. He took the minig and he twisted it. Even though he said all the piyutim, but he said it out of order, a different order, and he thought his order was more correct than the way it was written in the Machzorim. So he felt he was punished. Yeah, that's what the poskim speak a lot about, the significance of observing in Hogan. Yeah. So here the Gemara is going to comment on this. The Machlokes and the Mishnah, Machlokes Reb Meir, the Chachamim Marmim, whether the Tabochem Anemonim on Chelev. Chelev is a real Osa Issa Deraisa. Say, Echad Nem and Bistur. If he's a religious Jew, he says he took out the Chelev, so you believe him. But is he Neman on the Shuman Agid? Because Shuman Agid is a minig that just developed during their lifetime. In the earlier generations, they didn't have this minig. So Reb Meir holds that the minig is a valid minig, and you can't trust the shochtan, you can't trust the butchers, because the butchers are going to say, we remember the old minig was that they never asked the Shimon Agid. And Reb Yudah holds, your minig is a minig shtus, and it's not binding, and you don't have to cut out so much chaylev. So the Gemara says, over the generations, it kept on switching back and forth, whether they are nemonim, whether they're not nemonim. The Gemara says, when it finally became such a minig mekubal that no one even remembered that the old practice was not so, after years went by, and there were no old timers left, nobody can say, I remember the time that we used to eat that Shimon Agid. So then it became, it was observed by everybody. There were no wise guys who were makel on it. So then there would be nemonim. It was just a question in that short period of time, for 30, 40 years. There was a period of time that the butchers were not nemon. So that's the last piece of Gemara here on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis before the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said the Gemara has, it's about 20 lines from the bottom, quotes, Ein atabachem nemonim. And there it says the butchers are not to be trusted to remove all the shemarigim. Amar Abchi Barabu, Amar Abi Yechanan. That was in that generation. Later, the psak reversed, Chazalam nemonim. In the later generation, the rabbis decided that the butchers are nemonim. Frag the Gemara, we know there's a concept of Yeridus Adoris. We usually assume as the generations go on further away from Amir HaSinai, so we'll kill Kol HaDoros, they're not as observant. All of a sudden over here, Amar Rav Nachman, Ach Shedorei, all of a sudden the generations became more kosher, they're more medaktik. During the lifetime of Rav Meir, they were not trusted, they were not to be trusted. And after Rav Meir's death, all of a sudden the butchers became bigger tzaddikim, that they ought to be trusted. How can it be? And for the Gemara, it's usually the reverse. It's not always like that. Sometimes there's a big turn to the right, and then there's the next generation, a big turn to the left, and back and forth. But usually it's unusual to say Achsha Dari, generations became better, they improved. Everything about name. Meikor Davis Avilokir Reb Meir, during the lifetime of Reb Meir, his shita prevailed. He was machmir. You got to take out the Shuman Agid from all over Tzoch Lachatet Lahava Mehemni. They weren't trusted because they remembered the minig was not so. And it's a Dover Kosher to go remove all the Shuman Agid. Over Lubisof, they reversed the Psak. Yeah. Sorry, Reb Yudah. The Psak was like Reb Yudah. So it's easy just to cut off a little bit of Shuman Agid on top of Gid on Asher. That's easy. So that's one version. That they reversed the Psak, they paskal like Reb Yudah. And Ika, by the time the Gemara was written down, so there were already different versions. The Gemara was completed by Ravina Ravashi, but then the Gemara was recited by Peh for another few centuries till a late period during the period of the Gaonim when they wrote down the Gemara. So by the time they wrote it down, sometimes there were different versions of who said what the name of the person is, and what did he say, and which part of the Mishnah did it go on. See, here's one of those places. Ika, another version has it, the Masnilu HaSeifa. Other, by the time we're writing the Talmud Bavli, others had a tradition that it goes on the next line in the Mishnah. Reb Yudah says, the butchers ought to be trusted. They reversed the Psak in the later generation. They said, even though during the lifetime of Rabbi Yochanan the Psak was Einam Onim, but a few generations later, Rabbi Yochanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He was the Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nosser. Rabbi Nachman was a later generation. So Rabbi Nachman says, Bizman Hazeh, after the days of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman lived in Bavel, so it's a later generation. He says, Bizman Hazeh Einam Onim. All of a sudden, it's very much Achsha Dori. Same question as before. What do you mean? Now they're more observant, now the butchers are more trustworthy than during the lifetime of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no. Meikoras of Ruach Reb Yudah, originally when they held Vachachamim Maimim, how does it say in the Mishnah? Vachachamim Maimim is Reb Yudah. Because the one before him was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Ein Amonim. Ein Atabochim Namonim. Dibri Reb Meir. The butchers are not to be trusted because it's a Dovash Yesh Batircha and the Minig was not yet well established. So if you want to observe that minig, you better cut out the Shuman Agid yourself. You can't trust the butchers because they're not doing a good job. Chachamim disagree.
What's the issue of trusting? It's a mitzvah. Look, is it there? It's not there.
Right. He says, don't trust the butchers. You better check it. That's what he means. You better check it yourself. And you probably see that they left over a lot of Shuman Agid. But if you check it, you see there's nothing there. Okay. If a guy, let's say, one who doesn't know the anatomy of the animal, he won't know what part is the Shuman Agid. So you have to give it to an expert to remove the Shuman Agid. You're right. That's what it doesn't mean. Don't trust it. It means have someone else check it to make sure that he did a good job. So in the Mishnah it says, "V'chachamim ma'amrim ne'manim alav." That's Reb Yudah says. Ne'manim alav because the davish ain't but tircha. Because Reb Yudah holds that Reb Meir's minig is a minig shtus. He holds you don't have to observe that minig. So Reb Yudah holds minig shtus. In a later generation, they reversed the psak. How does the Gemara say? Bizman hazeh ne'manim. So the Gemara says, Achsha Dori, around 10 lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, no, meikoras of Ruach Reb Yudah. In the days of the Mishnah Machachamram, they held that is Reb Yudah speaking. Reb Yudah, it's a dovish ein bo tircha, so the butchers are going to do it. Hodos of Ruach Reb Meir. In the days of Reb Yechanan, the psak was reversed. There are different dinim during our lifetime. Before the Second World War, the consensus was one way. And after the Second World War, the consensus changed by the Rabbanim. And they changed the psak, different issues. So here also, the consensus changed. Gemara tells in Yevamos, if you read the Chumash, you get the clear impression that it's preferable if my brother, I don't have a brother, but if my brother dies leaving, my married brother dies leaving no children, so I'm supposed to perform Yibum. And if I don't agree, or the wife doesn't agree, one or the other doesn't agree, then you do chalitza. So the simple reading of the pasuk is mitzvus yibum kodemus lemitzvus chalitza. Then came Abba Shaul, Atana came up with the chumra midirabbanan that it's not proper to perform yibum unless you're doing it l'shem shamayim, l'shem mitzvah. A lot of times, why should I marry my brother's almana? So if she's good looking, I'll marry her. If she's from a miyuchizdik family, I'll marry her. If she has a lot of money, I'll marry her. But I'm not going to marry her the shame mitzvah. So Rabbi Shol came up with a chumrah that there's an isa reishasach. You're only allowed to perform yibum and makam mitzvah. Otherwise, it's an isa kares. So the isa reishasach is only lifted. It's only mutter if you do the yibum the shame mitzvah. If you do the shame mammon or the shame yichus or the shame beauty, the shame yofi. So there's no heter and you're in violation. So then once Rabbi Shol said like that, so they reversed the psak and they said mitzvah chalitza kademus lemitzvah yibum. Most people are not going to marry a girl to shame mitzvah. You're going to marry the girl because of her good looks, or because of the yichas, or because of the money. They're not going to do yibum l'shem mitzvah. So then the Gemara says, every other generation, they changed the psak. The consensus changed over the years. So then that's the machlekes, the tzfardim and ashkenazim. What was the final consensus? When they finally stopped switching the vote back and forth. So the tzfardim had the practice for many years, till Hakam Samdina, that they still practiced Yibum. They felt that it finally reverted, the Psak reverted back again to the way it was in the days of Matan Torah. The Mitzvah Yibum Kedemus LeMitzvah Chalitza. The Ashkenazim felt, Tosfos quotes, the Ashkenazim felt that the final vote, the final consensus was that Mitzvah Chalitza Kedemus LeMitzvah Yibum. Till they established the Medina, so then they made a Rabbanut. So the Rabbanut said, you can't have a different Psak for the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. So they had all the Svarish Rabbanim sign a Haskem. They all signed an agreement that they're not going to allow Yibum anymore. And then years later, after that, Chacham Avadya, before he became chief rabbi, he was in Egypt. So he wrote a tshuva when he lived in Egypt that Haskem that the Svarish Rabbanim signed, Ein Lezeshem Tokef. What right did they have to paskin against Svarish Psak? Svarish Psak all the centuries was that Mitzvah Yibum Kedemus. So he says the Heskeim that the Rabbanut relies on is meaningless. They have no right to make such a Heskeim. I don't know when he became chief rabbi. I don't think he allowed Yibum. But Kolzman wasn't chief rabbi, so he was free to say whatever he wanted. So that's an issue that was debated over the generation, went back and forth. The consensus changes sometimes over the years.
So according to Abishal's logic, I mean, didn't Hashem know the nature of why a person marries another person?
Right. So most of the Rishonim assume that's the way it's assumed, that Abishol's dinner is only on Chumra Midirabban. When Atorah, he agrees that Yibum is mutter, even if I'm doing it for the beauty, for the looks, and for the money, and for the covet, and for the yichas, even though I'm not doing it the Shem Shammai. He invented a new Chumra Midirabban. That if you do yibum shalom, the shame mitzvah ki'ilu pogea be'erva ki'ilu, but it's not really pogea be'erva because on the level of the rice, it doesn't matter what intention you have. That's called hutra. It's heter gomer. But makam yibum, it's heter gomer to marry the sister in law.
Mitzvah shame. Mitzvah.
Yeah. So Abba Shol says it's only the mitzvah is deiche, the iser, and it's only deiche if you do it l'shem shamayim, l'shem mitzvah. If you don't do l'shem mitzvah now. So that idea that b'makam yibum with doiche the iser reishasach, that's only a chumer mederabban. In the Torah, it's not doiche; it's hutra hetta gama. B'makam yibum, it's hetta gama. So that issue was one of the issues that kept on changing back and forth, like over here. This is an issue the rabbanon. That's also the rabbanon. The chalitza b'tiyim. This is an issue the rabbanon. Do you machman all the shuman agid, or you just machman a little bit of shuman agid? So this went back and forth over the generations. So then the Gemara says, "V'hashta dam shiyul the Rabbi Yudin." Now that it's already been forgotten that there ever was a sheet of Rabbi Yudin. Now it's already so angevurzelt, it's so accepted that you don't eat the shuman agid. So no butcher was going to be makel to be mezalzel on the niker on the treibering. So that's why Rabbi Nachman says, "Bismanazen emonim." Why they became more religious? No. There's nobody alive today who remembers that there ever was a shita. None of the butchers can say, I remember the time that we weren't machman. That's already centuries later. So if they know that's the din, that's the din. When you have kashrus organizations, give a hechshon on a company, so the different kashrus organizations have different standards. So sometimes, let's say the OU wants to impose their standards. They want to have an OU. So they always say, these are rules and the regulations, you have to do it like this. So they'll answer back to the rabbi from the OU. But the other kashrus organization doesn't require that. So we say, hey, go to the other kashrus organization. Because one, the OU endorsement, you have to, these are the rules and regulations. Because they all know, all the companies all know who's making on what. Because they want to save money and they want to save time. They don't want to have 24 hours downtime and they don't want to have to do hagola. They don't have to do limud. So they all know the star keya, the chof keya, this one, they always know someone else is making on something. So the OU tells them, go to the other organization. If you want those standards, go to the OU. If you want the OU endorsement, you have to live up to our policies. So that was in the days of the Tanoim also. There were machloikas and over the years, the consensus would sometimes change. Yeah. So on chelev, there never was a machloikach. On real chelev, the butchers are believed. The Eirech and them myself, they're religious, they're believed. But on the Shumanach, on the Shumanagid, that was the issue back and forth. Chelev is a real din. So that is no shana. Okay. The next Mishnah is we're still learning to get on Nosha. The Ika part of get on Nosha is later, but this is an important part. There's a big machlekes in Psochim where the Gira, which macholas asuris are osa bahano and which are only osa bachil and which are muta bahano. So let's say chametz b'pesach. We say there's a machlekes satanim. Rabbi Yisrael clearly holds that chametz b'pesach is only osa bachil. It never says explicitly in the Chumash that chametz b'pesach is osa bahano. Rabbi Yisrael Glili has an exclamation, Tamei al atzmecha, what are you, crazy? Chametz is asabah. No, I never heard of such a thing. And his opinion has not been accepted. We pass on chametz, but Pesach is asabah. No. It says in the Shulchan Aruch HaChumra, Adin, that let's say there's a Goyish bakery, and when they bake freshly baked cakes or cookies or breads, you walk outside in the street, you smell it, you have hanoah from smelling it. So if I'm walking to shul and I happen to pass by the bakery, I'm walking to the train on Chalamoy and I pass by the Chametz Digger bakery and I smell it. So that's EF Shavuot Kamachav. And I'm not mechuyev to walk across the street to avoid it. I'm walking minding my own business. I have Hanoah. That's called Hanoah de Bemeila. You only also to get Hanoah if you do a Maisa Hamahane. If you didn't do something special, then it's Mutah. But what if the shortest way to get to shul is to walk on this side of the street? I walk on the other side because I enjoy to smell the fragrant smell of the freshly baked cake and cookies. Am I permitted to walk across the street? So the Shulchan Aruch says no. The Chumash on Nachri is osa b'achil and osa b'ano. And to smell it is also a form of getting hano. So you're not allowed to walk across the street specially in order to get hano to smell the chametz. So that's a machlokes hatanai where the chametz b'pesach is osa b'ano. Let's say if you cook basa b'cholov, is it asa b'ano? By mistake you cooked. So the Mishnah, we started from kolav basa. So the Mishnah said, if it's basa b'cholov, there I say, you cooked flesh with milk, then it's asa b'ano. If you only cook chicken with milk, that's only basa b'cholov, there are banan, that's muta b'ano. It's only asa b'achila, and it's muta b'ano. So let's say if by mistake I cooked flesh with milk, so I want to give it to the Anochri whom I know. I want to give it to the cleaning lady or something. I want to give it to the next door neighbor. He's my Shabbos guy. My next door neighbor, my Shabbos guy. But the cleaning lady does work for me. So if I'm going to give her a tip, so I'm going to get you. Probably going to do a better job. If you give a matana to Anochri Hamakiro, so you're going to expect something back in exchange. Probably going to do a better job. So that's how he's getting Hanor. So if I, by mistake, I cooked chicken with milk, I cook chicken in the milchik pot, so that's basa b'cholov d'rabbanan, so it's muta b'ano. So I'm not allowed to eat it, but I can give it to the nochri shemakir. But if I'm going to have a flesh I cooked with milk and it's basa b'cholov d'raisa, then you're going to give it to a nochri whom you know, you have a relationship with them, then they're probably going to give you more conscientious service. Or if I need him, I need him to be my Shabbos goy, so he'll probably be he'll probably come more often to help me do something. My Shabbos guy, my next door neighbor, I used to sell a chametz to him every year. So I used to explain to him, I used to get for Shalach Manas, he used to get a lot of schnapps. I used to sell him a whole box full of schnapps, and I gave him the whole carton. I gave him the whole carton of schnapps. So I said, if you after Pesach is over, if you don't want it, I'll be happy to bite back. He drank everything that night. Everything was gone. And he died from a liver ailment. I killed him. He drank my Chometz Dika Schnapps. He died yet. And his Amana is not interested in being my Shabbos guy. So I lost my Shabbos guy. Okay. So here there's a big machlokes HaTanam regarding Gid Anoshe. Is Gid Anoshe only Osa Bahanoah? Is only Osa Bachila? And Chumash says, Akein Lo Yochel B'nei Yisrael's Gid Anoshe. All Osa Bachila. Should it be Osa Bahanoah? So the Gemara shows it's a machlokes HaTanam. According to Reb Shimon, it's Osa Bahanoah, and according to the Chachamim, it's Muta Bahanoah. So here, then there's a... So we, the Rambam paskins that it's Muta Bahanoah. And the Rishonim ask on the Rambam, based on other things that he passed, he really should have passed him that it should be Osabano. It's a difficult Rambam. Why he said Mutamano, he should have said Osabano. So Rabbi Yosef Karo writes, it's a difficult Rambam, it really should have been Osabano, based on the Cheshbonus of how you passed him. And then he says, especially you look in the Zohar says that it's Osabano, so really it should be Machman, that Gid Anosh is Osabano. That's what Rabbi Yosef Karo writes in the Beis Yosef, his commentary on the tour. So the Bach writes, what did the Beis Yosef gain by quoting that it says in the Zohar? Who wrote the Zohar? Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rab Shimon went off in the Gemara. Rab Shimon holds that it's Osam HaNoah. So he didn't add any additional Mar Mekaymas here. Rab Shimon, we know he holds that it's Osam HaNoah. That's the shad. Do we pass like Rab Shimon or not? So the Gemara says, M'sochim here on Daf Chabez. The Gemara says, you see from this Mishnah that the Stam Mishnah is against Rab Shimon. You want to give him a whole side of an animal with the Gid Anoshe. The Goyim don't like to see a piece of meat that's all getrebet. They butcher the meat when they yank out the Gid Anoshe and they take out the chelev. So the piece of, even if they're not interested, they're not going to eat the Gid Anoshe. They're not going to eat the chelev either. It's not healthy. But they don't want to see a piece of meat that was all butchered. They want to broil it. They want to cook it the way it is, one big piece. So if I send a maton, I sell it to the goy, or I send it as a gift to the goy with the Gid Anoshe in it, I'm getting hanoa from the fact that it has the Gid Anoshe, because the nochri is happier. It gets a big chunk of meat that's not butchered up. So the Mishnah says that Gid Anoshe is mutabanoa. There should be a concern, he may resell this meat to a Jew. The Jews know that the goyim don't have any trade for butcher shops. All the meat in this community is kosher geschachtene meat. So if I'm going to sell a meat to the goy may resell to another Jew. So the Mishnah says, Gid Anoshe is mutabanoi, getting hanoa from the fact that the goy is happier and he's paying more money to get a full piece of meat, not butchered up. So we pass Gid Anoshe mutabanoi. And there's no chashash of lifnei iver. Even if the goy will resell it to the Jew has to be blind as a bat. He sees that nothing was cut up. So he'll realize, when they should become a niker, he sees that the Gid Anoshe was not removed. So he'll understand on his own that it's not a kosher piece of meat, that he has to take it out.
Are you allowed to buy meat from a non-Jew?
So that's going to be the whole discussion on the next daf. If you know in this city, all the meat is kosher geschachtene meat. And the goyim always buy by the kosher butcher stores. So then the Gemara says you're allowed to buy from the goy. Yeah, that's going to be a whole discussion. So what do you do? Once in a while they make an avela. Once in a while they make a trefa. So the Gemara is going to discuss. They had a system. Is the system reliable or not? That on the day that they had an avela or a trefa, they would announce in all the shuls. They would announce in all of the kosher butcher shops that today something is an avela or trefa. So make sure you don't buy from the goyim. They wouldn't finish off the sentence, make sure you don't buy from the goyim. They would just say, today there was an avela trefa. So it means you got to be careful. So that's what Gemara is going to discuss, how reliable is that system. Okay. So we'll learn that, we'll have to continue. In the beginning of Parshas Chayisar, you have the special din of Kever Yisrael, that the Jews live differently from the non-Jews, and we die differently, and we have to be buried differently. We have to have a separate Beis HaKvaros. And the Bnei Ches offered Avraham Avinu, they respected him, the Selikim Atobas Achenu. They said, we'll allow you to bury your wife in the most Bekovedik location. And he said, no, he has to have a separate cemetery. The Jews live differently, they die differently, they bury differently, they have to have a separate cemetery. So Rav Soloveitchik once said that he remembered there was a machlokes between Rav Chaim and other gedolim. The din is that a kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeis unless it's one of the seven relatives, or unless it's a meis mitzvah. The was is a meis mitzvah. So meis mitzvah means the kohen is traveling on the highway. There's nobody else there, and he sees a Jewish body first in his bed, and no one's taking care of the kvur. So if he has his cell phone, so call up the chevur kadisha, call up someone else, they should bury him. But if there's no one else to get, so the din is that the kohen is permitted to be metame to the meis mitzvah. So there was a question, what if a Jew by mistake was buried in a Goyish cemetery? That's against the din. Avraham Avinu had to have a separate cemetery. So what's the din? Is a Kohen permitted to be metame to the mace? He's buried. The mace is buried, but he's buried in a Goyish cemetery. So that's a Bizayin HaMeis. Is that considered a mace mitzvah? So Abchaim held that that has the status of the mace mitzvah. So the Kohen is permitted to be metame, real Tumah D'oraisa, to take the mace out and to bury him in a Jewish cemetery. And other Gedolim, contemporaries of Rav Chaim, thought that it wasn't right. That once the person is buried already, even though it's Keneged Adin, even though that is a Bizayin HaMeis, once he's buried already, so that's not called a Meis Mitzvah.
That's a bigger Bizayin, maybe.
Bigger Bizayin.
Bigger
to be buried in a Goyish cemetery. That's Rav Chaim holds. Bigger Bizayin to be buried in a Goyish cemetery. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a mashal, and they printed his mashal. So he used to say, there's a machlokes hatanaim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, where they may say akma matami ba'ohel. If you go to the AMP, pick up a piece of meat, even though the piece of meat is wrapped, so there's no maga, you're not touching the piece of meat, but it's masa. Pick it up, even though there's a paper wrapping, that's masa. So nevelis matame b'maga m'masa. Human being, dead human being, is not only matame b'maga m'masa, it's matame ba'ohel. So the pasuk says, Odom ki yomus ba. Odom means any human being, it means dafke Yisrael. So the Rambam, in the way we usually assume, most assume like the Rambam, that we pass like Rav Shimon, atem kriyim odom ve'enu masolim kriyim odom. Only the Jewish people are matame ba'ohel. The Meisei Nochrim are not Metami, they're Metami B'Magam Amas, and not Metami Ba'Oel. So the I forgot what I wanted to say. Right. So Tosus has a comment on that Gemara. Tosus says, "Atem kruim Adam," but there are psukim that refer to Nochem, and it says Adam. So Rabbi Natan makes a distinction between Adam and Ha'adam. Adam only refers to Yisrael. But the word ha'odom with the hey ha'idiyah, that can sometimes refer to non-Jews also. So what's the difference between odom and ha'odom? Why is there a difference? So Rav Soloveitchik had a drasha that he used to say, that by ha'odom means with the hey ha'idiyah, somebody special. So he said, by the Jews, we treat everybody has to have human dignity, whether he's a prominent rabbi, or a laborer, or he's a Talmud Chacham, an Amor, it doesn't make it that everybody has chashivas as far as we're concerned. By the Ummah Sa'ilam, they only hold from big Nobel winners and big professors and wealthy people. If it's ha'adam with a hey, ha'idea, somebody special, then they'll show kavod rabbis. And it's a plain human being. He's not wealthy and he's not a big professor and he's not a big scientist. And no, nobody special. A bum, a shikar a bum, dies in the streets. So that's adam. So by Ummah Sa'ilam, they don't get any chashivas. Adrasha, that's what he's saying. That by the Jews we treat Adam, Atem Kriyim Adam. The Jews give chashivas to every human being, and by the Goyim they only give chashivas to Ha'adam, so that's why Ha'adam can apply even to Mesiach. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give the mashal like this. He said, the Kohen Gadol is preparing for 7 days before Yom Kippur. Shivas Yom Kippur Yom Kippur Mafrish in Kohen Gadol Mibeso. And you have to make sure he doesn't come in contact with any tumah. He comes on Yom Kippur, he's ready to do the Avodah. All of a sudden, he bumps into a Meis Mitzvah. Yom Kippur. and now he has to be mitami to them. There's no one else to ask. The Kohen Gadol has to be mitami to the Neis Mitzvah. So then he can't, the whole preparation that he did for the whole week is all down the drain. So the assistant Kohen Gadol has to take over and do the avodah. And who is it? A Neis Mitzvah means a Neis. You don't know who he is. What do you mean you don't know who he is? He doesn't have any relatives who are going to take care of the kvura. Who is he? A bum. Someone died, you don't know who in the world the guy is. He's nobody important at all. Still, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be mitami to the Neis. So Rav Soloveitchik used to give this moshel in his droshes when he was talking about Kabbat Ha'odam, that by the Klal Yisrael we give chashivas to every human being, by the human Yisrael it's only Ha'odam. If it's somebody special, then they'll give him dignity and respect, and not. So they wrote this up in Hapardes many years ago. They wrote up Rav Soloveitchik's droshes. So someone sent in a letter to the editor. He really wanted to attack Rabbi Soloveitchik to say what an Amoritz he is. But he wrote it, Balash and Nikiyah, so he says, the one who wrote over Rabbi Soloveitchik's Dosha made a big mistake. He said, on Yom Kippur, you don't bury anybody. You don't bury any mason on Yom Kippur. So what do you mean the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is gonna bury the mace because of mace mitzvah? And then you don't do any malach. Then on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is surrounded with so many Kohanim. How can it be that it's a mace mitzvah? There are so many other people there. The whole thing is a mistake. The one who meant Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't know what he was talking about. He said, the one who wrote over must have heard wrong and must have written it wrong. So the next month, someone else sent in a letter to the editor that the Gantz and Moshel, Rabbi Soloveitchik, used to give the Moshel with a dramatic presentation. That must have been a bum who died, you don't know who he is, otherwise the Kraven would be Metapon and the Gvur. The whole Moshel is just a Tesis and Nazir. Tesis gives the whole Moshel. And Nachrenim asked all the Kashis. And Yom Kippur, you don't bury anybody. And on Yom Kippur, he's surrounded with all the other people, all the Kohanim and non-Kohanim, everybody surrounding him. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, though, that even on Yom Kippur, you don't bury him. That's a lot of times Rav Soloveitchik would give a moshel, and it was just dramatizing what it says in the Gemara. He would dramatize, he would say, a Yerushalmi. He said, people, some of the Baal HaBatim thought he made up his own philosophical idea. He was quoting a Yerushalmi and translating it, that's all. A lot of times they would do, like they'd be quoting a Tosfos, they're quoting a Mishnah, and they wouldn't realize that it's quoting. But he said about the Tosfos, how does Tosfos say that you're not allowed to be Mechalol Yom Kippur to bury a mace, or what kind of mace mitzvah on Yom Kippur? So he suggested that the din of mace mitzvah, that the Kohen is allowed to be Metameh, on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be Mekabah the mace. But he said, if someone dies just to cover over the body, that's also covered up. You shouldn't be exposed. Let's say everybody is sitting in a room and eating on Yom Tov, and then someone died on the couch and goes, let's leave the body there. So he thought, that's also a din of meis mitzvah. To cover over the meis is mishum kavod ha-meis. But also, the kohen has a heter to be metam the meis mitzvah is not only if he's going to do the gemara of the kfura, even if it's a day that you can't do the kfura. To show a little kavod ha-meis is also a heter of meis mitzvah. But he said on the parsha, he said that he remembered his grandfather Rav Chaim Hel that to take a meis out of a goyish cemetery, to rebury him in a different cemetery with only Jews there, that's also a heter. The kohen is allowed to be metameh. That has a din of a meis mitzvah. Kiddush.
What's the definition of a Gaisha cemetery? There are non-denominational cemeteries, so they bury all kinds of people. That's a Gaisha cemetery.
Right, so a Jew is not allowed to be buried there. Yeah.
How did Rabbanon and Eretz Yisrael on Pesach allow for the start of the
Tzuniyot?
They can't have two mitzvahs for one for Tzvart and one for Tzvart.
They have two different hashgachas. They say on the package, Mutter Rakla, Ochlei Kippur. Yeah.
So it's Mutter to do that.
Yeah. Ashkenazim can't eat it in Tzvartim can't.
Okay. I mean, here we never have this problem in America. All we have to do is have it. Yeah.
In America, most of the religious Jews are not Tzvart.
Right.
You never have Ashkenazim.